Hello, everybody. This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Thank you so much for joining us today. And if you're brand new, welcome to the Daily Hope family. We hope you'll enjoy the teachings of Pastor Rick Warren right here. I'm so excited for all of you to learn about your shape. It might not be the shape you're thinking of right now. Rick loves to use acrostics, and this one is S-H-A-P-E, your shape. Your spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and experiences. And one of the reasons I love this series and have shared it with so many friends is because Rick talks about the way God wired you and why you need not just know your shape, but how to use it to do the things that God designed you to do. Very excited to hear today's message. So here's Rick with part one of a message called Unwrapping Your Spiritual Gifts.
Robert Kriegel once wrote a book in which he said everybody is always in one of three zones. He said one is the panic zone. And that's exactly what you do in the panic zone. You panic. In the panic zone, you are out of your league. You are doing work that you're not gifted or shaped or prepared or educated or equipped to do. You are stressed out. When you're way in over your head. Have you ever been there? How many of you have ever been in the panic zone? The rest of you are lying. Because everybody's been there. If you've never been in the panic zone, I want you to preach the six services next weekend. That will immediately move you into the panic zone. At the other end of the spectrum is the drone zone. And that's where everything is too easy. You're in a job that's beneath your talent. You got 12 cylinders and you're only using two. It's mindless work. It's boring. You're bummed out by it. Everything is so predictable and easy. You're just bored out of your mind. There's not a single challenge. And many of you have been in the drone zone. Between those two extremes is what he calls the C zone. He calls it the C zone for challenge and confidence and commitment and control. And that's where your gifts and your abilities perfectly match the task that you have to do. I call it the J zone for joy, because when you're in your J zone, you're in your joy zone, it just feels good. You go, this is what I was made to do. This is me. I'm good at this. I enjoy this. And God is blessing this. And that's where God wants you to live your life, in that joy zone, not in panic, not in boredom, but right there in the middle. Now, last week we said that God is a giver, and he has given everything that we have is a gift from God, that the God so loved the world that he gave, and everything you have is a gift from God. And he made you unique. You are uniquely shaped for his purpose here on earth. There's not anybody in the world like you. God does not make copies of anything. No two trees are alike, no two animals are alike, no two people are alike. God doesn't make copies, because originals are always more valuable than copies. Even in twins, there are differences that are distinct. And God said, I made you to be you, and I don't want you being anybody else. We said that there are five things that make you, you. We call them your shape, S-H-A-P-E. They're on your outline. They're spiritual gifts. What am I gifted to do? Heart. What do I love to do? Your passions, your interests. Those are given to you, put inside of you by God. Abilities is the A, your natural abilities that you're good at. P is your personality. You have a very distinct personality, different than everybody else in the world. And E are your experiences, which are unique to you. And you have vocational experiences and relational experiences and spiritual experiences and painful experiences. And God uses all these things to shape you for the purpose he has for your life. Now, today we're going to start, as we look at each of these in detail, how God has shaped you, that when you know what you're shaped to be, then you know what you ought to be, and then you can start focusing on that and make better use of your life. I want to begin by just pointing out that the moment you step across the line spiritually and you say, okay, I'm going to be a believer in Christ. I'm going to go God's way, not my own way. I'm going to let him direct my life. I want to follow his purpose, not my purpose. I'm going to do what I was wired and made to do. The moment you step across the line, put your faith in Christ, God gives you four major gifts. Many people don't even know that they've got these gifts, but God gives you four major gifts. Number one, he gives you the gift of forgiveness. Now, folks, even if there was no such thing as heaven, and even there is, but even if there weren't, it would be worth it just coming and getting my life right with God just so I don't carry a bunch of guilt around. Most people in life are not very happy because they carry this constant burden of guilt and resentment. Guilt over things I've done to others and resentment over things they've done to me. And that makes you miserable. And the answer to both is forgiveness, asking for it and offering it. And the Bible says in Romans 5:15, Jesus Christ brought forgiveness to many through God's bountiful gift. And the first thing he gives you, he says, okay, we're going to wipe out everything you've ever done wrong. Wiped out, forgiven, forgotten, no condemnation. It's like as if it never happened. That's a good deal. That's the first gift God gives you, forgiveness of all of your past. Second thing he gives you is eternal life. And you might call this the gift that keeps on giving. Because God has long-range plans for you, and he says, I want you to be with me in heaven forever and ever and ever and ever. And in Romans 6:23, the Bible says this, the wages of sin is death, that's the bad news, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You're never going to work your way to heaven. You're never going to earn your way to heaven. You can't be good enough to get into heaven because heaven's perfect and you're not. You can't buy your way into heaven. God does not grade on a curve and goes, well, your good works are this much and your bad works are this much. And so, yeah, okay, you're in. You can't do it that way. The only way you'll ever get into heaven is it's a free gift. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what Jesus said. And it is a free gift that you accept by faith. And say, Jesus, I'm going to accept what you did for me on the cross, and I get the free gift of eternal life in heaven. The third thing God gives you the moment you become a believer is he gives you the gift of his Spirit. The gift of his Spirit. The Bible calls him the Holy Spirit. And God says, I'm not just going to be around you, and I'm not just going to be with you. I'm going to put my Spirit inside of you. And the Bible says in Romans 5:5, God has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. How do you know when you're letting God live through your life? The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and goodness and self-control and faith. These are the nine qualities that God says, I put into your life when you let me live through you. And he says, I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to give you strength that you don't have. Many of you have never called on that strength. He's put it in you. It's not a feeling. It's a fact. You may feel full of God. You may not. Doesn't really. Feelings are irrelevant. It's a fact. And God says, you trust me, and I will help give you power through you to do what you need to do. The fourth gift that he gives us is the gift of some special abilities. When you put your faith in Christ, he gives you the gift of forgiveness, eternal life, his Spirit, and some special abilities. Now, these special abilities are called in the Bible spiritual gifts, which makes them different from material gifts or physical gifts. They are spiritual gifts. They are the abilities you need to get the job done that God wants you to do. These spiritual gifts give you a special ability to do the purpose he planned for you. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about this. Look up here on the screen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, brothers and sisters, I want you to understand about spiritual gifts. I want you to understand spiritual gifts. Most people who are believers don't even know they've got them, and much less know what they are. But you have put some spiritual gifts there. God put them in your life, and they're dormant, waiting to be used, special abilities that you now have. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul says, I never stop thanking God for all the generous gifts he has given you now that you belong to Christ Jesus. He has enriched your church with gifts of eloquence and every kind of knowledge. and you have every spiritual gift that you need. Now, notice he says in this verse, he's enriched your church with gifts. If that could be said about any church, it could be said about Saddleback. There are literally thousands of very gifted people in this congregation. God has gifted you and the other people in our church family in an amazing way. It is your giftedness that I see in you that gives me the confidence to say, hey, let's go after some of these big world problems like poverty and disease and illiteracy and corruption and injustice and AIDS and stuff like this. Why? Because I see the giftedness in this congregation that maybe you don't see. It's an amazing combination of talent and the way that God has shaped you. And God says, I gave you these to be used for a purpose. The Bible says this here on the screen, 1 Corinthians 12. A spiritual gift is given to each of us. That means everybody has at least one spiritual gift. If you're a believer, you've got at least one. You've got many that you don't know about. Spiritual gift is given to each of us as a means of helping the entire church. Now, what is a spiritual gift? Well, as I said, God has a purpose for your life, and your spiritual gifts are the equipment that he gives you to do what he asks you to do. God will never ask you to do something he doesn't give you the ability to do. And it's given to you the moment you accept Christ. You don't get to choose your gift. God says, I'm going to choose it. You don't earn your gift. It's a gift. It's sovereignly given. And the important thing is it's not given for your benefit. Your spiritual gifts are not given for you. They're given to you to help other people. And other people in the church family are given those gifts, their gifts, to help you. For instance, I have some spiritual gifts. When I use my spiritual gifts, like one of them is the gift of teaching. When I use that my gift, you get blessed. When you use your spiritual gift, I get blessed. So do the other people. If other people don't use their gift, you don't use your gift, I don't use my gift, we all get cheated. And every gift is important. It's like a puzzle. When you have a puzzle and one jigsaw piece is missing, what's the first thing you notice? The one missing piece. And if you don't use, you don't develop those gifts that are dormant, lying there, maybe undiscovered in your own life, then we all get cheated. Now, spiritual gifts are different than natural abilities. They can appear the same, but they're different. When you were born, you were given certain natural abilities. For instance, how many of you can roll your tongue? You know what I'm talking about? Like that? How many of you can roll your tongue? Okay, about 63% can roll their tongue. The rest of the people are defective. No, just... just kidding. How many of you can roll your... Anybody can roll your tongue under? Look at that. Let me see it. That is so cool. That is just too cool. Can anybody wiggle your ears? Okay, let me see. That's great. That's really good. Anybody double jointed in their fingers? Okay. All right, let me see it. Yee. That's ugly. That's just flat out ugly. All right. Okay. Anybody double jointed in their toes? That is a real ability. Okay. Can any of you do this? Do any of you hear voices in your head? No, just kidding. Every one of us have different natural abilities. Have you noticed when kids are born, some things they're just naturally good at? Some kids are born being performers. And I mean, they come out and they're just so cute and they're just showing off and they're just fun to watch. And other kids are just retiring and they look the other way when you look at them. Isn't that true? Who taught them that? It's inborn, natural gift. Some of you are good at math and some of you are good at mechanics and some of you are good at art and music and all that. Some of you are born coordinated and you're good at sports. And you are just naturally, you have a good sense of balance, and some of us are just not coordinated, okay? And you're never going to be coordinated no matter how much because you didn't get those natural abilities. When you were born, you got a set of natural abilities. Now, when you are born again, in other words, when you have a spiritual rebirth, when you are converted, when you come to Christ, when you experience salvation, in your spiritual rebirth, you get a new set of spiritual abilities to do a whole new thing. They're given to you the moment you become a believer. And you don't have them until you become a believer. If you're not a believer, you don't have any spiritual gifts yet. But they're given to you the moment you step across that line. Now, what's the difference? Well, you might write this down. Spiritual gifts produce spiritual results. Spiritual gifts produce spiritual results. For instance, have you ever noticed the difference between a Bible teacher and a spiritually gifted Bible teacher? Big difference. Big difference. The difference is the difference between information and transformation. A teacher can give you information, but when you're gifted at teaching the Bible, it transforms people's lives. It changes them on the inside. It has an additional power to it that just normal teaching doesn't have. In fact, I know a lot of people who are great teachers in school or in college or business, and they're professional teachers, but they don't have the spiritual gift of teaching, and so it's not the same thing. You can be good in one and not good in the other. Have you ever noticed the difference between somebody who is naturally good at singing and somebody who had the spiritual gift of, say, encouragement or exhortation while they sang? Do you notice the difference in the singing? Oh, yeah. Why is it some people sing, oh, yeah, that was okay. And other people sing, whoa, I just felt that in my heart. It just grabbed me. They had the gift inside them. And it has when you hear somebody who's a really good singer, you go, wow. When you hear somebody who is spiritually gifted in this, you go, wow, God. It draws your attention to God. You go, what a great God. It draws the focus onto God himself. Have you ever tried to see the difference or notice the difference between somebody who tried to encourage you and somebody who had the spiritual gift of encouragement? You know, some people, they try to encourage you and you just want to say, thanks, but no thanks. You know, you're not really encouraging me. You're not helping me right now. In fact, you're kind of messing it up. Four reasons why you need to know your spiritual gifts. Four reasons. Number one, because they shape your work. They shape your work. As I said last week, in architecture, form follows function. Tell me what you want to use the building for, and I'll tell you how to build it. But in human beings, it's the exact opposite. Function follows form. Figure out how God shaped you, how he wired you, what he's given you in gifts, heart, personality, experiences, abilities, and then you'll know what you're supposed to do with your life. And so your shape, your spiritual gifts shape your work. Now, Jesus said this here on the screen. He said, I must work the work of the one who sent me to earth while there is still time. He says, I got to work the works of the one who sent me. He said, you know what? Life doesn't last forever. You're only here for a while. Then you're going into eternity. He goes, I got to get the job done while I'm here because I'm not going to have forever. That's true of you too. In fact, Paul said this, St. Paul, he said, life is worth nothing. It's worth nothing unless I use it for doing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. Did you know that God has work for you to do? Specific work that he wants you to do while you're on this planet? And nobody else can do that work? It's called your life's work. God doesn't put people on earth without giving them a life's work. And your life's work involves your job, your career. It involves your ministry, your mission, all these different things. And God says, I put you on earth. Did you know that God has work for you to do? Work is a part of God's purpose for your life. He didn't put you on earth just to be a placeholder, just to take up space, just to use resources, to be a cipher. No, he put you here to make a contribution. You say, what contribution am I supposed to make? Based on your shape. Now, God never gives you a task or work to do without giving you the ability to do it. And that's called your spiritual gifts. And as I said, they're laying dormant in you until you decide to discover them and develop them. Surveys have shown, many, many surveys have shown that in America, most people, most Americans are in the wrong job. They're in a job they're not shaped to do. They're in a job primarily for economic reasons, not because it's fulfilling, not because they're good at it, not because they're shaped at it, but because it's just putting bread on the table. Let me say this to you. It's not like you're living in a number of countries that I could mention to you where you don't have the freedom. If you're in a job that's not using your talent, your abilities, the shape that God has given you, your spiritual gifts, get out of it. Life is too short to waste your life on a job that doesn't express who you are made to be. Get out of it. Even if it means taking a cut in pay, even if it means selling your home, even if it means moving out of Orange County, get out of it. Life is too short and your life is too important. God did not put you on earth to make money. The greatest things in life aren't things, but what matters is what God has shaped you to do. I want you to write this down on your outline. My gift is the power to bless others. My gift is the power to bless others. If you are a believer, every one of you have that spiritual gift, at least one, and you probably have many. And it is the development of your spiritual gifts, those abilities that God has given you, that blesses other people. Now, the Bible says this, there on your outline in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's read it aloud together. There are different spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit gives them. There are different ways of serving, yet the same Lord is served. There are different types of work to do, but the same God produces every gift in every person. Now, there's a word that's used three times in that verse. I want you to circle. It's the word different. There are different spiritual gifts. There are different ways of serving. And there are different types of work to do. Now, we're all called to serve God. We're just called to serve God in different ways. So don't try to copy anybody else. Don't try to be like anybody else. You're unique. When you read a biography and you go, wow, I wish I could pray like that. I wish I could do that. Don't. Because God didn't make you to be that person. God made you to be you. Now, knowing your spiritual gifts answers questions like, what's God's will for my life? What does God want me to do with my life? What kind of job, what kind of career should I have? What should be my ministry? What should be my mission in the world? Gifts explain where you're supposed to be headed. They shape your work. Now, they not only do that, they explain why people see things differently. It's why you get in fights with your girlfriend or your boyfriend, or you get in fights with your wife or your husband or people at work, because people are gifted differently. And even when you don't know what your spiritual gifts are, you always approach problems from your giftedness. You always do. And that's why two people can approach the same problem and they see it from a different angle, because they're gifted in different ways and you always approach problems with your gifts. For instance, if I invited a bunch of you over for dinner tonight at my house and we're sitting around the table and somebody serves the dessert and they spill it. Now, if you had seven people or six people sitting around that table and each one of them had a different gift, they'd respond in a different way. For instance, if you had the spiritual gift of exhortation, you'd be likely to say, well, that's what happens when you're not careful. Because people with that gift are always figuring out how to correct something. On the other hand, if you had the spiritual gift of mercy, you'd be going, oh, it's okay. Don't worry about it. Everybody does that. And your goal is to relieve embarrassment if you have the gift of mercy. Now, if you have the gift of serving, you would probably immediately say, here, let me help you clean it up. Because that's your goal, to help meet a practical need. On the other hand, if you had the spiritual gift of teaching, you'd probably say, now the reason it fell over is because it was too heavy on one side. And you're always trying to figure out why on everything, if you got that gift. If you have the spiritual gift of giving, you'd say, well, don't worry, I'll be glad to go buy another dessert. Be right back. And you're trying to meet a practical need. If you had the spiritual gift of administration, and the Bible says that is a spiritual gift. It's different from human management. It is the spiritual gift of administration that God gives you to organize things. And if you had the spiritual gift of administration, you'd probably say, Jim, you go get the mop. Sue, you make a new dessert. Betty, you help me clean this up. You know, you know, in every small group, God puts at least one person with the gift of administration. It's true. In every small group, somebody has the gift of administration because God says we're going to organize this to achieve a group goal. Now, not only does your spiritual gift shape your work, it actually shows your worth. That's the second thing. It shows your worth. Your gifts show your worth. They show how valuable you are because God has put some valuable gifts in your life. Now, the reason why you have value is because of what God says about you, not because of what other people say about you. See, today, many people lack self-esteem. They don't feel good about themselves because they're always trying to pump themselves up by the kind of clothes they wear, the kind of car they drive, the kind of things they say, the way they look. They're always trying to pump themselves up to make them feel better about themselves because they really don't accept themselves, which, as I said last week, is really rebellion against God. It's saying, God, you blew it. You made a mistake. You didn't know what you're doing when you made me me. Well, if God had wanted you to be somebody else, you wouldn't exist. But he wanted you, and he made you to be you. And so real self-esteem comes from three things. Number one, God created you and thought up every one of the details of your life before you were born. Number two, Jesus died for you, which shows your value. And number three, God's Spirit lives in you. And he has gifted you with certain spiritual gifts, and that shows your value. If you're a parent, you should teach what I just told you to your children as soon as you can. Because when they understand God made me, I'm unique, nobody else is like me, then I don't have to compare or compete or criticize, and I don't have to project onto others, and I don't have to copy. You see, as I said last week, most of us start off as originals but end up as carbon copies. God made you to be you. By the time you get out of school, you're already a bunch of what other people want you to be, your parents, your friends, and everybody else. God says, no, 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 you're missing it. I wanted you to be you. And he says, I don't want you doing three things. First, don't copy. Second, don't compare. And third, don't project. Now, copying is saying, I wish I were like you. And projection is when you say, I wish you were like me. And we do that too. We do gift projection. We say, you should feel the way about this the way I do. That causes a lot of arguments. You should see this the way I see it. You should care about it the way I care about it, and on and on. But these things show your worth. And when your kids come to know Christ, help them to realize that they have spiritual gifts. An 8-year-old has spiritual gifts if he knows the Lord. And they can begin to make a spiritual contribution. Look up here on the screen. The Bible says we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so that we can do the good things he planned for us to do long ago. Now, you know, the Bible, the New Testament part of it, was written originally in Greek, the Old Testament in Hebrew. And the Greek word for masterpiece there is the Greek word poema. It's the word we get poem from. God says, you're my poem. God says, you're my work of art. He says, you're my masterpiece. I don't want you copying somebody else. You're my masterpiece. And I've put some gifts in you, some heart, abilities, personality, experiences, and I want you to use it. And it shows your worth. Now, every part of the body is needed. We're all needed. Look at this verse. The Bible says we're all parts of Christ's body. The Bible calls the church the body of Christ. You know, hands, legs, arms. We are all part of Christ's body, and it takes every one of us to make it complete. In other words, hand can't say to the foot, I don't need you, and the ear can't say to the eye, I don't need you. And every part of the body is necessary, for we each have different work to do. There's that differences again. So we belong to each other, and each needs all the others. You are needed. You're needed in this church. You are needed in this community. You are needed in this county. You are needed in this world. If you weren't needed, God would not have made you. I want everybody to just say, I'm needed. Go ahead, say that. I'm needed. You are.
Thank you so much for joining us on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope today. Hey, I'm wondering, have you ever asked the question, what does God want me to do with my life? If you're like me, of course you have. And you're not alone. God intentionally created you to fulfill a unique purpose. It's so important that you discover how you can live the full and abundant life that God designed just for you in the Shape to Make a Difference Bible study. It was created by Pastor Rick and taught by Pastor Eric Reese. Now, in this study, you're going to see how the acrostic, S-H-A-P-E, which stands for Spiritual Gifts, Heart, Abilities, Personality, and Experiences, and it will reveal how God wired you and how you can use your shape to do the things that God made you to do. This is a 6-session video and workbook study, and it's going to help clarify to you your future goals, and it shows you how you can have the most fulfilling life possible. A life lived for God's purposes by God's design. Now, no matter what your age is, it's never too soon or too late to discover what God has shaped you to do. And this life-changing study kit is perfect for personal or small group study. We so appreciate all your prayers and support. And today, when you support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope with a gift to help share the hope of Jesus Christ with people all over the world, we're going to send you your very own copy of the Shape to Make a Difference 6-session video and workbook Bible study. It can really make a difference in your life. Just go to PastorRick.com or you can text the word HOPE to 70309. That's PastorRick.com, and that's got 2 R's in the middle, or just text the word HOPE to 70309. And we thank you so much for your support. It means so much to us at Daily Hope. We hope you'll join us next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.